Hey, Pupster, welcome to Train a Dog Podcast, and we thank you for supporting us for Season 1. We are now into our Season 2, and we want to thank you for your continuous support. Pups Dog Training promotes positive training at its best, kind, fair, and effective. And we are setting out this podcast again, right? It's because we fully believe that owning a dog is an amazing and rewarding experience, but also a responsibility and not a luxury. Training your dog properly will lead you to greater understanding of the animal, and we firmly believe in the dog-owner relationship being one of the mutual understanding and respect. We immerse you fully in the dog training process, and with this holistic approach, we believe owners end up learning as much, if not more, than their dogs. Our goals is to enhance and to build a better quality of life for you and your dog through the various dog sport activities available, be it as dog training, basic dog obedience training, or competitive dog training. This way, we also helps to refine the communication skill between you and your dog. There is more to dog training than just obedience training. And you can find us on our website. Right, our URL is www.pups.com.sg. Pups as in PUPS.com.sg. And we are also on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter with the handling of PupsSG, PUPSSG. And you also can find us in our blog and also our YouTube, right, with the handling of Dog or Pups Jamming Studio. And in our blog will be Pups Blog Series. Hey, what's up? Thanks you for joining us on our podcast again. Right, this is our season 2 and today is the episode 3 and the topic is management versus training. Right, this is a very interesting topic and I always would like to discuss anytime and anywhere. Right, I hope that you have enjoyed our first two series and first two episodes. And I would like you to continue to give us some feedback. If you have things that you would like us to contribute and you have not seen us talking about it, you might want to email to us or leave a review at our Podchaser, which is www.podchaser.com, which is PODCHASER.com, right? So this is where you can leave your remarks and your review, and so that you will help us to be able to get more dog owners, dog lovers to join us in our next podcast. Okay, so training versus management. So what is the difference? Right, training, as you know, is a systematic approach to a problem where we help our learner, which is our dog, to basically break down the typical types of exercise to understand what is the objective, what is the reinforcement value, and what is the reward zone, and therefore we build interest and association towards what we want to achieve, right? So that to me is training, right? And management is basically a containment plan, right? It's something that we use to basically to manage our dog, to be able to temporarily relieve that situation that is a core of a concern, and at least we have time to address it in terms into training when we have that opportunity to do so in the later stage, right? So this is what we talk about management. As a trainer, I always look at not all staff or all things need to be trained. Right, and I believe we shouldn't be all looking at, I need to train my dog to do this and that. All this while, I always find that there are certain things that it can be avoided. When I say avoided, may not be the right term. I will be more like saying that the way we can manage the situation where I think management comes in rather than the need of a training. What do I mean? Right, so let's look at this in a few angles. I have five angles that we can look at. So the number one will be the number one things that I always see happening is that I always have a client that comes to me and say, "Hey Dexter, I have dogs that keep biting my socks." Right, so this is a 101 question. I think all dog owner will literally be asking. And I always think that this is something that is always controversial, right? Because why do you leave your socks flying around or lying around in a sense? Like, is it possible to keep your socks? Is it possible to use a closed container to keep your socks or to keep it out of reach of your puppy so that the dog doesn't have the opportunity to bite your socks and continuously to get reinforced by it? Right, so I think it's a lot easier for you to keep your socks than to train a dog not to bite your socks, right? Because if you relook into the terms of training, basically we need to teach the dog that first, socks is not something that you want to bite, right? And how to stop the dog from biting the socks, and then next you need to teach your dog what is the right thing to bite, right? What is your legitimate items that you allow the dog to bite, and you want him to spend his energy going for the right stuff. So you can see the trainings actually entails a lot more in depth, and management actually will already be good enough for you to manage that situation of a socks, right? And I always believe if you manage your socks properly, you keep it under a wrap or a container, I guess you will not be seeing biting your socks all over again, right? So this is something I think it's more a management issue than a training issue.
This podcast is sponsored by Pups Dog Training. Pups is a positive dog training school. We train dogs from puppy to advanced. Pups Training currently focuses on nurturing, training, educating, and motivating our trainers to better equip themselves with skills, knowledge, experience to ensure continuing education and keeping abreast with the field of dog training. Our flagship programs include online cyber puppy training, life skills, dog obedience, behavioral modification, private one-on-one home-based training, and dog squads.
Right, so number two, the other thing that I guess most of my client will be asking me will be, hey Dexter, my dog pees and poo everywhere in the house, right? So when I hear such thing, I will always look at that the household has no boundary set. What I mean is that the puppy are allowed to roam everywhere he likes or she likes, and that gives him or her the chance basically to pee and poo everywhere that she has the urge, right? I think that is the key problem that you are harnessing, right? You are providing your dog the opportunity to pee and poo at anywhere, at any one time, at their wish, right? Therefore, it becomes harder to house train a dog, well, which is both a training problem, but it's also a management issue, right? I would rather say, it's like, for example, you will bring back your kid, let's say a toddler, to your house. Do you just allow the kid to, let's say you house sit your sister's kid, right, your nephew, when you bring it back to your home, do you just allow him to, you know, roam around your house, to claw around, to bite everything on the floor, anything that he can get so on his hand? Or do you basically have a better management skill where you basically maybe put him in the playpen somewhere that he will not get hurt, or you have people to basically watch over the kid 24/7? I guess you will be doing what I would say, paying attention, make sure that the kid doesn't get into trouble, right? So it's the same thing with a puppy, right? When you have a puppy, my question is, why do you allow your puppy to roam everywhere he likes? First of all, you need to understand that the puppy has not been trained to housebreak or do a potty training. Therefore, it is definitely not reliable for you to let him roam 24/7 around the home without any supervision. Right? I think that is something that I need to stress that again. Without supervision, to allow your puppy and your dog to roam around your house for a longer period of time, is definitely a no-go, right? Because you are giving way to a lot of problem, right? What happens if your puppy ingests something that is not supposed to be ingested? You'll get yourself into a very long-drawn medical attention that you may need to address that, you know. So the best bet to do that is to basically, you know, set up boundary for your puppy, right? If you have no time to supervise your puppy, let's put him inside the playpen or inside his crate. Crate is something that you can be set up to be trained upon, that you will basically, as a containment plan, to basically keep the dog safe under wrap inside a cage as of it's in the cave, right? So the dog is very protected, the dog will feel safe, and it goes back in and he will sleep the longest time he wants, right? So that is something that I think you need to do. And by providing a safe haven for the dog, you are eliminating the possibility for the dog to pee and poo anywhere he likes, right? And this is also a way to basically indicate to the dog that this is a allowable area, area that you're given the green light to do your potty, which is inside its playpen. It could be on a pee pad, on a pee tray, or things like that, right? So that is something that you can then think about, right? So the third thing that we would like to look at, whether is it management or a training that is more sufficient or more realistic to it, I would say the next is to be prudent, right? The way we take care of our dogs. Like for example, if I were to always bring my dog down for a walk at this period, at this time, you know, and I always walk this stretch that is full of, you know, food that has been dropped either by kids or by somebody, you know, and because of that, my dog has always been sniffing the floor, picking up rubbish from the floor, and that might cause a problem, right? The dog begins to understand that food grows from the floor, right? That it becomes a problem, you know, where he will then spend all his energy when he's out sniffing the floor, right? So to me, again, this is a more like a management issue, right? Is it possible for me to change route, to seek for a better place to walk my dog, which is cleaner? I think all of us take pride to be a Singaporean because our area are always very clean and green, right? And we are so spoiled, right? We always go take pride that our areas are clean and things like that. So I'm sure you are able to locate a route that is clean, that's free from rubbish, at least for the minimum. I guess you can find that, right? So as a prudent owner, I guess you need to do that. And by doing so, you actually eliminate the possibility or the chance for the puppy to pick up things when he's on the walk, right? That will cue the reinforcement, or that will stop the reinforcement. And what happens is that it will go into a extinction, right? And then the behavior will be extinguished, right? So by management, basically, you are actually training your dog, right? So I guess this is something that I will more keen to look at, or to ask you as an owner, you know, to be more prudent rather than spending your energy and time into training your dog, right? Obviously, I'm not against training, but again, sometimes there are things that we can learn how to manage, and that were already good enough to fix the problem, right? So the number four is what we call begging from the table, right? Or begging on the table. That is a very common issue I always hear from my client. My dog, you know, will come to the table and he will whine and he will bark, then he will show us the puppy eye, the cuteness, and then you have no choice, you know, because you are heart soft, therefore you give your dog a food from the table, right? Again, that is what I call reinforcement, right? So if he comes to your table and he sits and show you the poor little puppy eyes, and then you give him the food, what you are actually training your dog to be is that the dog understand every time when I see you sit on the table, when it's your meal time, I just need to go there and act cute, right? And he will give me the food. Therefore, that is already a reinforcement done, right? So as a matter of discussion, right? So for banging on the table, no, you have other ways that you can get it resolved. For example, maybe put him away from the table when you're having my meal. Maybe I put him behind the playpen, or I put him inside the crate as I'm having my meal. That will eliminate the possibility of the dog walking to my table and start begging, right? And that will stop reinforcement, and that will cue that behavior, right? So there are things that I always think that is within our management, within our control, and let's do our part, right, to manage the thing, then while always to work on the hard route in terms of training, right? So the fifth and the last one that we want to talk about would be like, you know, barking, and my dogs are barking with another dog, right? My dogs are not friendly on the walks. I will always have to ask you, right? So example, do you like everybody that you meet, or does everybody likes you? The answer is no, right? So same thing as our dogs, right? I always believe that you doesn't need your dog to like everybody, neither do you need your dog to greet every single dog, right? As I read for somewhere in the discussion group, you know, 20% of the dog doesn't, you know, 20% of the dog likes to meet dogs, right? That means they are so sociable, they tend to, you know, doing well in meeting all other people, all other dogs, any dogs that comes along the way, and that's 20%, right? There is a whopping 40% of the dog that would prefer to be alone, to be prefer to be not be faced in front of another dog, right? And if that is so, I think as an owner, I think you need to, you know, help your dog to move out of the situation, right? And then the other 40% were actually those dogs that, you know, sometimes, you know, like us, sometimes we are, we feel like it, we will want to meet. Sometimes certain dog is okay, certain dog is not okay, you know, things like that. So these are the statistics that is being shown, and I guess it's a good reference to us. What I'm trying to say is that, you know, barking another dog sometimes can be avoided, right? And avoidance is basically a form of management, right? So as a trainer, what I always do is that when I'm walking my dog, I will let my dog decide whether he want to go and meet that dog, right? And if he sees a dog and then he doesn't want to go for the dog, he will just walk away. Then I'll let him walk away, right? Because he's telling me that he's not, at this point of time, he has no interest to meet a new friend, you know, to exchange greeting, you know, to sniff each other's butt, for example. He's not that keen. So therefore, I walk away. But there will be times that the dog will be so excited to see another dog, and I will let them greet, right? This is a way that I think you can manage. Then that will stop, you know, your dog from barking another dog. Sometimes it is actually more like a leash reactivity, right? Which we have discussed in our episode 2, right? If you have missed that, please go back to our episode 2 where we talk about leash reactivity and how we can resolve that, right? So the other thing, of course, to do is to provide proper exposure, socialization of your dog, right? When we talk about exposure, we talk about allowing your dog to see stuff, see the sound, hear the sound, feel, smell, touch, you know, and also taste, right? So therefore, the dog exposes himself to as many as possible. So he can see the dog, he can smell the dog. If he ever want to go close, he can taste the dog, you know, he can also you know, hear the dog and things like that. So once the dog has made a decision and he's not in mood to meet another dog at that day or time, right, let's move away, right? That will prevent your dog from being uncomfortable. Ends up, he will end up will be barking another dog, right? So this is something that I guess we can do as a form of a training, as a form of a management too, rather than training, right? So that's the five area that I want you to pay attention or to rather have an understanding of, where I think management outweighs training, right? And I hope you enjoy this series, and I'll look forward to you for the next one, right? Okay, take care, bye, stay safe. Thanks again for listening to our podcast, and you can find us in www.pups.com.sg. And again, pups is pups.com.sg. And if you like our podcast and our episode, we will want you to, you know, to subscribe on the favorite listening podcast media, and you will be able to get the updated series as and when we have a new episode up for grabs, right? And we want you to provide us some feedback and some reinforcement so that we can continue to do a great job, provide a great experience and a great podcast to share with you guys. Right, you can leave a review at www.pod, P-U-D-C-H PUPSSG. Right, as I repeat again, you can leave a review at www.podchaser.com/pups, PUPSSG. Right, and we want to thank you again. We see you in our next episode.